be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to On the Radio with Dr. Ray, featuring your host, Dr. Robert Ray, and co-host, Natalie Day. This program will help you find the body, mind, and spirit to define your biological age and live a vibrant, sexy, anti-aging lifestyle that you've always desired through diet, exercise, and a variety of helpful tips that will be discussed on today's program. Now, here is your host, Dr. Robert Ray, and co-host, Natalie Day.
Okay, dear friends, welcome to On the Radio with Dr. Ray, Voice America. I'm going to tell you a little story, just a little story to get the whole show started. It's shocking but true. The Aztec, many hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago actually, hid their 17-year-old women, girls, when the plant avocado came into season. Now, avocado, of course, is avocado today. The reason why they did it is because teenage pregnancy would go through the roof. True story. Listen, I went up to, Natalie, I went up. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm in the background stunned about the beating of avocado women.
Yes, and I tried to throw something at Tim, but he hides behind the consoles back there. I got my little crew here with me. But anyhow, the avocado plant. I walked up the Pyramid of the Sun this past year. So it's a true story, you guys, true story. Avocado plants are brutal aphrodisiac, and there's actually science behind it. It's not just appearance of the fruit itself. You look at avocado, looks like, well, I hate to say it, but looks like scrotum, looks like a testicle. And as a matter of fact, avocado, the Aztec word, means testicle plant. Anyhow, these plants, not only visually, but also chemically, physiologically, biologically, increase sex drive. So by now, you can figure out what direction this show is going in. It's one of our shows where we just have a lot of fun. Yes, it is. But there is an element of seriousness, as usual. Did you know that libido is a huge problem among women? 55 million American women, as we discussed before, suffer from zero libido. And men are having their own problems with sexuality. So today, we're talking about sexy, sexy foods that help the mood, improve, your amorous life, and physiologically, biologically, help your sex drive. Are you ready, Natalie? Do you have your seatbelt on?
I do. I thought I was ready. It's funny. I say we're going to do a show on sexy foods and get people's libidos going, and all of a sudden, it turns into a crazy, crazy thing. So it looks like you've been doing your homework. But I'm just amazed you're in a hotel room, because today you can't be in the studio. You're in a hotel room, and you had all this time to look it up.
I'm going to be going down to Carnival, covering Carnival for a couple of television stations in America and Brazil. So I'll be there in 3 days, and Carnival is insane. It's basically for 3 days, that perfectly proper lady next door, I will suddenly run around naked for 3 days, and nothing said about it. It's just open, legal, nationwide nudity for 3 days. So I will be there. I'll be forced to go down and cover that. For that, I'm going to France, Spain, Germany, Switzerland, and England. Anyhow, you guys, the point is, let's talk about foods. They're going to perfectly prepare us for just how to meet that special person or rekindle that little flame in our love life. Our first guest is Rocky Fino, and he is the author of Real Cook for Sex. I spent all night kicking myself. That title is so good. How come I didn't think of it first? You can find this publication, this book, on realcookforsex.com. He is host of Strip Down Kitchen. I mean, the whole thing is filled with innuendos. On webtalkradio.net. He is the resident cook for Channel 8 TV 8 in Vail, Colorado. I mean, this guy really knows how to live and how to cook. And Will Cook for Sex has actually won Forward Magazine's Cookbook of the Year. Congratulations. Rocky, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate coming on.
Rocky, I have a question for you. So how do you set a mood? And is it equally important for men and women? Are men just, just a little lace and we go crazy? Do we need mood too? And what if a person can't cook?
it's
two questions to start with.
Great questions. We're going to have to pause for a second. I'm on Expedia right now trying to get my ticket to Brazil.
Yeah. I tell you, are you married?
Yes.
Okay, maybe Brazil's not for you then.
Well, I was going to say, we can make an arrangement there. You know, a little
if you're married, either you're a Mormon and you can marry many, you know, or your marriage is open because Brazil is too much temptation. Or you wear your chastity belt. I guess you could do it that way. But you really cannot leave Brazil without getting in trouble. So you better rethink those tickets.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Hey, I was raised in Utah. A little Mormon joke is okay. So what say you, Rocky?
Now, back to your question of the mood. You know, men and women are two different breeds, and the guys are a very simple breed. We could have 100 things going on in our mind. And if she gives us one idea, one wink, one hint, one suggestion that tonight's the night, the other 99 are gone. You know, that's
right.
It. But, you know, I could be in the middle of filing bankruptcy papers, and that, you know, it's a
sign.
Oh, you know?
Man.
But
that's a very timely joke.
But but women, on the other hand, they obviously assume it. They know that we are a simple breed, so they already assume where our intentions are. So they are expecting a little more from us. And as guys, we have to bring it. We have to be able to set the mood. If the night's going to go anywhere, you got to be able to set the mood. Now, cooking is not a talent. If I could play, if I could sing and play guitar, I wouldn't cook either. You know, you could set the mood real easy that way. But for the rest of us that aren't musical, you know, cooking is not a talent. Cooking's a skill, and it's a skill that can be achieved at very low levels. Just the simple act of buying an assortment of cheeses with baguette and a fresh avocado, and you're headed in the right direction. You haven't even heated a pan.
Wow, so, I like that.
See, in my opinion, when we talk about aphrodisiac food, cooking is the aphrodisiac. It's the act of chivalry that puts her in the mood. See, any guy can go out and get a reservation for a table for two at a crowded restaurant, or you can bring it home to your home court and do your best to put forth, you know, an effort. And it's the chivalrous effort that she's going to find attractive. I mean, you know, hey, guys ask all the time, why should I cook? Let me spell it out for you. It's pretty easy. You know, it's, you know, there's good reason. Now, of course, she needs to hold up her end of the bargain. But
I won't ask.
Sure.
All right, Rocky, we are your total stud. You're very accomplished, a young man. You know, of course, we're allowed to disagree. Let's talk about beer, all right? There are a number of writers who support beer as an aphrodisiac. Now, that's a little bit confusing to me, and science is replete with this. Science is replete with ideas and thoughts contrary to what you would think is helpful to the body. They're counterintuitive, in other words. Beer, we know in medicine, is a sedating compound, is a sedating drug that, if anything, can lead to impotence or temporary impotence. And anyone who's a heavy drinker knows that. Now, you talk about beer. What are your thoughts about the aphrodisiac aspects of beer, of alcohol?
Well, in the case of beer, so, you know, we're as a layman, I'm a layman. I'm not a scientist. So I'm just working from, you know, personal experiences, trial and error, et cetera. If your significant other is not a fan of beer, you're not going to get her in the mood by serving her beer. You better find out what she likes and cater to her likes. If she's a red wine fan and she loves the idea of dark chocolate-colored chocolate strawberries with a, you know, a glass of Cabernet, well, you know, I'm going to put science on the side for the moment and I'm going to go that route. But beer, I mean, handcrafted beers, your microbreweries, your artisan beers, you're not going to get anywhere with the mass-produced, you know, can of Bud Light. You know, there's no value in that one.
Yeah, and there's no flair.
There's no flavor. There's no excitement to it. Now, so if you have somebody that's a woman who doesn't appreciate beer that much or doesn't know about it, my wife's not a beer drinker, but we were at a food and wine event. I do plenty of them. And somebody was serving a raspberry lager, raspberry stout. And those are generally too sweet for me. So I kind of passed on it. Well, she took one and took a sample sip. And she looked at me and goes, my God, I love this. This is, she's got a little more sweet tooth. And she loved that.
You could see a little twinkle in the eye, right?
Yeah. So it was like, hey, I slid a little bit 10 and said, can I get a couple bottles?
So Rocky, tell me, Rocky.
The moral of the story is, absolutely, alcohol is a depressant. We know that in medicine. But a little bit, remove some of those inhibitions, those societal mores. So a little bit's good, too much is bad. So I think that's a moral of the story. Really, really quickly, in a coolest guy, he wants to try something a little different. He wants to do something at home. What would you recommend as far as quick, efficient? What can a guy do that's simple? Let's start with a mood for his living room. What would you recommend?
I'm going to say you put out artisan cheeses on a plate with a fresh baguette. Again, get a good baguette. The fresh bread makes the difference. And lay out a half of an avocado with that. If you can go the extra mile and put a little grapes or something else to complement the plate, you're there. Yeah, but it also, it shows your food allows you to kind of show the kind of traits you are in a man. You can be imaginative with food. You can be creative with food. It's one of the last acts of creativity that we get to do on a daily basis. You can be artistic with food. You could be thoughtful based on serving her what she likes. Don't try and force down, the meal that you think's the greatest. You're trying to treat her to a nice meal. Pay attention to what she likes. So, all these things come out in your performance of cooking, whether or not it tastes good. She gets the idea. You've set up a cheese plate in the living room. Right there, she's impressed. You've got a glass of wine chilled. If she's wants to start with a white wine, great.
Right.
Now you work your way into the kitchen. Start with a nice salad. Salad's a great one. It's very inexpensive. It's a world of creativity in the produce section. Don't hold up on iceberg lettuce and ranch dressing, but get creative again. And use light dressings. Allow the flavors to come out from the ingredients you put in the salad, not the dressing. And she's going to appreciate this because she's going to see that you're being a little, you're being thoughtful. You're being a little calorie conscious. Remember, women endure dinner to get to dessert. So you're going to want, and desserts are very challenging. So I'm not going to recommend first time guy go out and try and make a dessert. Now, as you get more into it, a homemade dessert is the closer. It's a home run. You're there. That segues you from dinner right into the bedroom. But go to the bakery and get something special. Don't get the Sara Lee frozen cake. Go to the bakery and have them put something special in a box so you can finish it. I mean,
it's just,
I feel like I'm talking about common sense here, but there are a lot of guys out there that would never think, hey, the baker can actually save me here. Use them.
Right. So, Rocky, we've got just a couple of seconds left here in the segment. We're going to be giving away a book today on the program. One of your books, Will Cook for Sex. All people have to do is go to ontheradiowithdrray.com, enter your email address, and you can get Rocky's book, which is filled with these recipes and these tips that you're talking about. Gentlemen, we've covered a lot here in the opening segment. We have a lot more coming up here on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray. There's more free giveaways coming right up, so make sure you go to ontheradiowithdrray.com, put your email address in there, and you can get these books that we're giving away free today. Stay with us with more. We'll be right back.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Go inside the world of PR with PR Insider, hosted by public relations expert Maureen Kettis. Maureen will speak to the world's highest profile PR pros from the fields of marketing, advertising, and sales. And PR Insider will feature renowned members of the media as special guests. Maureen will give you a VIP access pass, including tips and tricks to take your business to the next level. PR Insider with Maureen Kettis, sponsored by Cision, us.cision.com. Listen every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
Want the best life has to offer for you, your family, and friends? There are a number of community-based programs and resources available to individuals for low cost or no cost. No need surfing the net or spending hours on the phone. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with hosts Melissa Jenkins-Simon and Diane Stafford and get the tools to success. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and
news, opinion, passion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to On the Radio with Dr. Ray. Today, as you know, we're talking about sexy foods. Next time you're at the restaurant, just look at the big asparagus. Has a little head on it, has a shaft on it. Do you see where I'm going with this? Asparagus is another one of those foods.
Actually, Dr. Ray, I have never looked at an asparagus that way until now.
That pretty voice in the background, we'll introduce it in just a second. But asparagus is one of those foods that I was talking about earlier that not only is visually sensual, it's visually sensual, but is also chemically an aphrodisiac. Why? Because it has the complexes, the folates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a banana. Did you know, by the way, we live just less than a mile from all the porn studios here in L.A. And number one food before they go on air, number one treat, number one snack before the actors go on air for these porn movies is a banana. It is a brutal aphrodisiac. But as we learned from the first segment, we know that women endure dinner to get to the dessert. And speaking of dessert, we have a pastry chef with us. Her name is Angela Rinelli, and she has a very interesting twist on being a chef, on cooking, and that is mysticism. She comes from an area called Abruzzo, Italy, where superstitions kind of abound. In that region, they prepare their food based on, you know, the faces of the moon, stars, and this comes to planting and, you know, butchering their animals and so on and so forth. So there's a whole mysticism to how they prepare their foods. And also, Angela took those influences, and after attending culinary school in Philadelphia, she incorporated those mysticisms and the superstitions into, basically Italian folklore, into her cooking. So welcome on the show today, Angela. You work at Le Vertu?
Yes, it's Le Vertu in Philadelphia.
You are the chef of the pastry there.
Yes, I'm the head pastry chef, and I try to incorporate a little bit of our magic that comes from Abruzzo. It's just kind of magical, you know? Just have to go reach
out. You kind of had me on the raspy voice. Oh, my gosh. Tim, can you explain to her about raspy voice and men?
No, I think we better skip.
We melt when we hear a little bit of that raspy voice. God bless you, girl.
This is my sex operator voice. If I ever can't cook, I could fall back on that.
I love that voice. Anyhow, let me get myself together here.
Now, Angela, while he's getting himself together, am I understanding this correctly? You're an expert in aphrodisiacs and aphrodisiac cooking?
I try to incorporate a lot of different aphrodisiac spices and just different fruits and vegetables that are actually found mostly in the Mediterranean diet, and so therefore in a lot of Italian foods. So, you know, trying to incorporate those into everyday dishes.
Okay, so we know the supplements are aphrodisiacs. We know the fruits and the chocolates are aphrodisiacs. But help us a little bit with the seasoning. Now, we know that, 2,000 years ago, the prostitutes would rub basil all over themselves before they went out for the night to work. And we know for sure that the smell of basil, and basil itself,
is a monstrous aphrodisiac. And we know the basil, of course, is a seasoning and also eaten. So what other seasonings are aphrodisiacs?
Actually, rosemary is a huge one. And they use it in so many things. You know, you kind of, you wouldn't expect it, especially by looking at it, if you went by the law of similarity saying, you know, if a plant looks like this part of your body, then it's going to help out that part of the body. But you look at, like, a rosemary bush, and it's, you know, spiky and stuff, and you wouldn't think. But actually, rosemary is pictured a lot throughout history with the goddess Aphrodite, which aphrodisiac is named after. And she's always carrying this piece of rosemary sprig. And it's because it's such a strong plant. Yeah, it is really steeped in a lot of ancient civilizations, you know, when you go back and look at these, where the ideas come from for certain aphrodisiacs. But, yeah, so the rosemary is such a strong scent that you actually, if you take a couple of sticks of it fresh, not dried, and throw it in the bathtub with you, it'll infuse your bathwater, and because it increases the circulation, your skin is much more sensitive. So when you get out of the tub, you want to do this, and then you're about to go to the bedroom, you're more sensitive. So you're already kind of turned on, because your blood's pumping. And also, it's because of such a potent smell, that's why they say rosemary for remembrance.
It's interesting, Angela, that you bring up this area of the aphrodisiac foods, because that irritation, quote-unquote, that stimulation, that inflammation, is another very, very important area of aphrodisiacs. For example, ginger or garlic are foods. It kind of confuses the body, but in the confusion, it seems to us as stimulation. For example, ginger will cause increased circulation to the genitals and will also cause an inflammation, a mild irritation in that area. But our brains kind of decipher that information as heightened stimulation. So ginger is a brutal aphrodisiac, and garlic works in the exact same way, increases circulation, causes inflammation of the sexual organs. There are a number of other plants that work in the same way by increasing blood flow to the genitals. Now,
I'm sorry, the extract. You wouldn't want to just go to the grocery store and get, you know, cinnamon flavoring. This is not going to work. But cinnamon essence, you know, essence
although
oil.
Although visually works pretty well. Let me sprinkle a little bit of this on you.
They say, I know, some of these guys will be petrified. I don't know if you want to try this, but they say to rub this a little bit on the man's testicles, and that it also creates heat. I wouldn't recommend it on the woman, but on
the you're talking about cinnamon, right?
Yeah, cinnamon. Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon for sure is used topically in many parts of the body, including the joints. So to put it on the outside with a little bit of warm water, absolutely
increases
this heat sensation.
Or even olive oil.
Or olive oil.
If you could steep it, yeah, if you can make like an infusion of oil, and that way, you know, it's smooth and it stays on. It's a little more of a lubricant too, so, I mean.
That's very sexy. Even visually, that's very sexy. I like that. It has a wonderful smell to it. It's a good idea. My poor wife, she better lock the bathroom door tonight. I'll be looking for her.
Do you use your cooking, these sort of ancient traditions, to sort of keep people that are in long-term relationships constantly falling in love with each other again?
To kind of rekindle the fire, just in general, whether it's in the bedroom or just more understanding between yourselves, there's a couple different ways to do that with the food. And, I mean, you've already eaten everything probably that the other person cooks for you. So for this instance, I would go to dessert and drinks, straight to dessert and drinks. And one of the most powerful aphrodisiacs are the black truffles, because the black truffle, you know, the truffles are underground, and you have to go through a lot to get them, and it's kind of like in your long-term relationship. It's like that. You work hard. You go through all this. So now you want to kind of bring the passion back out. So I suggest vanilla and black truffle. You could even go for like a basic chocolate cake, but you want to incorporate lavender into that somehow. You can make a lavender
ice
cream.
Nice.
Yeah, lavender is more known for its understanding and compassion. Now, if you've just already done all that and you're like, okay, I just want to have sex again, then I would say you want to do chocolate and hot pepper. That's a great combination. And
you know, chili peppers, of course, are a brutal aphrodisiac that falls in the category of foods, which increase circulation and, you know, stimulate the genitals. And we know that chocolate is probably the number one aphrodisiac because it works on so many physiologic pathways from your brain to your ovaries. So the fact that you combine them seems like an explosive combination. And I mean explosive in every meaning of the word. What a great idea. Two quick questions. What would you order if you say you are at a club and you want to order a drink for somebody, and the idea is for them to, you know, like you a little bit more, what would you order them?
Well, I would think mostly it's the men sending drinks, not so much the ladies buying drinks. But it really depends, you know, on what they're having. I like to see what they're drinking and then make a little twist on it so you show a little creativity. So if you're in a nightclub, sometimes you may not have all of these different types of spices available. But I would say if they can have a pear martini or a fig, there's something called Fico de India, which is a prickly pear martinis. Anything with those in it would be great. Also, even if you just, the girls are drinking a glass of wine, Cabernet, anything with, you know, really dark wine, because the darker the grapes, the higher the aphrodisiac.
Angela, not only do you sound very pretty, but I'm sure you're very, very pretty. Excellent suggestions. One last recommendation I'm going to ask of you. Of course, you have all these wonderful, wonderful sensual treats and sensual recommendations. Can you recommend, as a closer, a very, very sensual dessert that is not so crazy on the calories?
Even if you don't want to just go with fresh berries, if you want to go with even nuts, pine nuts itself, there's a really good recipe that I can actually try to send to you if you want to put on your website. And it's a cookie, but it has rosemary, pine nut, marsala, and it's not too much sugar in it, and it has olive oil instead of butter.
As well as
an apple cake that I make that has also, that we use olive oil instead of butter. A lot of people are doing this now, and it's a really good thing. I mean, we've been cooking with olive oil in desserts in my family forever just because the butter is not available in that part of Italy, and it actually turns out to be a lot better for you.
You can take something that's very dangerous and make it very healthy by adding a few drops of olive oil. Absolutely. Angela, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your sexiness and your sexy suggestions.
You're welcome.
Navi,
we're going to come back.
Very good recommendations.
Absolutely. We're going to put those all on our Facebook page, on our radio show page, so you'll be able to get everything that Angela talked about. We'll put a link to Le Vertu if you're in the area and you want to go and dine on this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another food that seems to have the libido going and has some amazing health benefits, and that's the oyster. We're going to be talking with Master Shucker, Gordon Weldon, when we come back, and he's going to talk to us about how you can use this food not only to boost the libido, but what the health benefits are. So stay with us here with more on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and 7th Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Are you ready for an open, informative, and fun discussion on health, wellness, and a whole lot more? If so, you'll need to tune in to The Good Life with Forbes Riley and Charlie, featuring award-winning TV host Forbes Riley and multimedia producer, author, and CEO Charlie Fusco. Our show is real, honest, opinionated, and full of laughs. Our well-known guests of authors, experts, and celebrities will give you the inside scoop on health,
fitness, and personal success. The Good Life with Forbes, Riley, and Charlie is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Well, you guys, welcome back to On the Radio with Dr. Ray. And you guys, I definitely left my heart in Boston. And I left a few stories in Boston. I was single. I was very single in those days. Went to medical school and graduate school there. Boy, is there a lot of pretty girls in Boston. It's definitely the city of youth, and of course also known for its oysters. And since we're talking about sensual foods today, I cannot be any happier to have the next guest on. But before we go on with introducing Gordon Weldon, I just want to mention that, again, oysters, very, very, very high aphrodisiac food. This one is counterintuitive because you look at an oyster, it's a little slimy so you would think otherwise, but actually oysters are brutal aphrodisiacs, and the main reason is because oysters contain zinc, and so zinc is absolutely necessary for the synthesis of androgens in women and testosterone in men. Of course, both of which are absolutely necessary for our sexual relationships. Anyhow, today we have Gordon Weldon with us, and this guy is one of the top-ranked guys on the Boston Oyster Shucking Invitational. And this is a competition for the fastest shuckers in the country. Gordon's contribution to the culinary world is that he modified numeral menus with seafood fare. Some examples are the Union Trust Steakhouse in Philadelphia, Doc McGrogan's, Riverside Cafe, and now he's at the Seafood Shanty in Reading, Pennsylvania. Gordon, welcome to the show. And I have a quick question for you in regards to, sensual foods. Obviously, we're in the Valentine's season here, but works all year long. Why is eating oysters, now I talked about the science already, but why is eating oysters considered so sexy?
Well, part of it is, the look of them. You regarded them as slimy. I go more with shimmering and glistening. They're really beautiful animals, if you want to call them that. But really, there's a kind of a hunter and the game thing going on where you really have to work with the oyster to get to the succulent treat, which is worth it. They're generally, when you're out celebrating, having fun and with loved ones and so on, so there might be some champagne flowing. You generally aren't going to go get some oysters and go home and sit on the couch and watch TV and that's more for ice cream and chocolate and depression or something, so... they're really a romantic food, certainly. Part of it might
be
that...
What is the best way to prepare it?
Well, I appreciate oysters just with a couple drops of lemon and...
So basically raw, though?
Just mignonette. Oh, raw, certainly, yes.
It's never steamed or it's never cooked? I mean, it's primarily eaten raw, correct?
Well, they are steamed and fried and, stewed and so on, but... As far as the aphrodisiac angle, I think historically raw is the way to go. Not many foods in our culture do we eat alive, basically.
Right.
So the oysters are alive before I open them. And with that, their life force or their chi is kind of still with them. And, whereas compared to other meats that maybe their life force is going on at the slaughterhouse or at harvest or so on, these you're really ingesting some little chi bombs. And that surge, you feel a little something when you eat it. Maybe it's a little explosion. And that combined with your loved ones and the champagne really kind of does the trick for me.
Well, you said the magic word. You said chi, to a second-degree black belt. One time, Gordon, I had on a show in Brazil, a live show with an audience. I pulled a guy off the audience. I pulled him, so I know it wasn't a trick. And then I had this 10th-degree black belt, a little Chinese kung fu master. He could barely walk, and he was 15 feet away from the subject, and he just outstretched his hands in the direction of the subject, and the subject dropped. So that was just chi alone. He never touched him. He was 15 feet away. And so you said chi. My gosh, what a very good point. We don't know how it works, but chi definitely works. Every martial artist will tell you that. So, Gordon, is there, the reason why we sound like we're from a different planet, we doctors, and you're going to find this out to be true for most of your doctor friends, we're so brainwashed in medical school with, the hepatitis and the many contaminants to shellfish. Where are we? Let's just get this out of the way before we get back to sex. Where are we today with contamination of shellfishes? Because, of course, in medical school, they bombard us with, hepatitis, the hepatitis B, C, and other diseases. Where are we today? We're past that, right?
We are well past that. Very safe. All the oysters you buy pretty much on the market are, you can call them wild if you want to, but their waters are all state inspected. They are legally tagged, so you can actually trace an oyster at an oyster bar back to its original grower, the original bed of water, the date that it was harvested, and all that sort of thing.
So that's very, very good. So today it's safe, right? So shellfish today, oysters, everything, clams are safe today, correct?
They're absolutely safe, and they are so good not only for humans but for the bay, because oysters are filters, and so they're constantly pumping the water and cleaning the bays. And it's a very American, supporting all our local bays.
So, Gordon, I've been listening to all of this talk about oysters and science and aphrodisiacs, and I'm a girl who cannot seem to, and I've wanted to forever try them because they're supposed to have this big aphrodisiac quality. They're supposed to be so good for you, and they're supposed to be like one of the sexiest foods a woman can eat, but I cannot seem to bring myself to pick up the shell and swallow the slimy thing at the table. Is there ways that we women who can't seem to get that down our throat can make it happen?
I would have, I would certainly have a suggestion. First, you want to get yourself to a reputable oyster bar where you know that they have a nice variety and they're moving a lot of oysters. Here at Seafood Shady, we have 18 varieties on the menu, and from all different bays, East, West Coast, North America, Canada. And what you would do is talk to the shucker, to your server, or your bartender, or whoever, and you would find out maybe what recommendation they would have. And for a first-timer, I would go with small, obviously, and then maybe go for slightly salty and sweet. Nothing bold, nothing metallic, nothing overly fishy or ocean-esque. What you're looking for would be something with maybe a fruitiness from the West Coast, perhaps a light lettuce-like brininess from the New England waters, and you get something small. And then the way to go, in my opinion, is just a little bit of mignonette, which is a delicious European sauce consisting of shallots and cracked black pepper and red wine vinegar. And so you just put a few drops of the mignonette onto your small oyster, and then you think like this. You consider it a cucumber, because it has kind of a cucumber crunchy texture to it. And so pretend you're at the beach and you're out in the ocean there, and you've just taken a cucumber and dunked it into your favorite red wine vinaigrette, and you're about to take a bite. You put it in your mouth, you take one or two chews, and then a wave hits you in the face. That's kind of the experience that you can think of, rather than, maybe a slimy, half-alive, little quivering thing that you can't get in your lips. They are truly a taste of the ocean, and nothing to be scared of. They're delicious.
Well, now, you've said that, but let me ask, if I do this, because just you've described it better than anyone I've ever heard, but if I try to do this Valentine's Day, because my husband loves oysters, he'll eat half the ocean if I don't stop him, but I can't seem to do it, and I know that would be a big thing for him, but is there going to be a benefit for me? Like, am I actually going to feel something, or is it a myth that they're really aphrodisiacs? Is it more the texture and the sensuality of eating it that's the aphrodisiac, or is there some kind of, like, oyster thing that's going to all of a sudden turn it on for me?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's going to be the excitement of your first oyster or your first few oysters. It's going to be Valentine's Day with your husband, which hopefully will have some romance involved anyway, and you'll be out on the town finding a nice oyster bar. And then what happens, and I keep going back to that little life force that you're actually eating. I think they do make you feel different. I can't think of really anything else other than plants that we eat when they're alive. So I do think it'll work, and a lot of it's attitude. You know, if you go into any dining experience, I would have to admit that in the right circumstance, you know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup's going to be a pretty decent aphrodisiac. But these things are fun, and I think they work if you let them.
I don't know, Dr. Ray, what would you say?
Borscht is not everything that you help menus with as far as seafood. Do you have any other recommendations in the seafood section of the menu that can also be an aphrodisiac? Is there anything else from the ocean?
Anything else from the ocean? I guess I've heard sea urchin, perhaps, and a great combination for when you have it with the oysters would be some caviar. And, yeah, I don't think you can go wrong there.
What is the best way to wash all this down? What is your recommendation as far as drinks?
I really feel as though champagne is a must. You know, cold
champagne
probably.
Champagne is a must, right?
Yeah, or a good white wine.
I think, Natalie, we're perfectly armed.
I think so. So, Gordon, thanks so much for being on the program. We're going to have to take a quick break here. But, folks, if you've missed any part of this show, what you've missed is everything from asparagus to avocados and cherry-shaped testicles to chocolate to saffron drinks.
And basil.
And basil and raw.
Remember?
And now I have been taught how to eat an oyster. I'm psyching myself up for it.
Although you had problems swallowing it.
I did. But you know what? There's champagne involved. I might end up being able to do it there.
How long have you been married?
16 years.
Anyhow, Gordon, thank you very, very much for helping us out today. Oysters are a brutal, brutal, brutal aphrodisiac on two grounds, scientific grounds, and also visual. But other tips from the ocean, such as the sea urchin, was new to me and appreciate it. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We will post all of these tips and tricks on our Facebook page and on the radio with drray.com, which, by the way, go there now. Put your email address into our community because in the next segment, we're going to be giving out two more signed books, and these are on wine, and you still have a chance to win the book, Will Cook for Sex. So stay with us with more on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Robert Ray. I'm Natalie Day, and this has been a jam-packed hour. Number one, I'm not sure if I'm horny or hungry, Dr. Ray.
We started. Both. That's the whole point of the show. Both.
Yeah, and it's like, it's strange because just when I get all excited about what our guests are talking about, you bring down the science and how it's healthy for us and things. So we've really covered a lot. Again, earlier in the program, we told you that there's a book, WillCookForSex.com, by our first guest, Rocky Fino. If you've gone to ontheradiowithdrray.com, put your email address in.
But now that kind of makes sense what you said. You know, I bring in the science. When you see a beautiful flower, The closer and closer you get to a beautiful flower, even when you even grab your microscope, then it turns into science. You know, it's the nucleoli, it's the nucleus, it's mitochondria. So that beautiful flower comes down to science.
I know,
and
you
that's
keep
what we're doing today.
That.
A lot of the sensual myths that we attribute to food turn out to have scientific basis to it.
I understand.
So our shows always come back to science.
I know, but when I'm telling you that I have problems making slimy oysters go down my throat, and you tell me I should do it because it has a chi.
You know, I'm not sure your husband wants you to fully admit these things, but, some stones better unturned, right?
Well, I am psyched because, again,
but
we...
I'll be happy to tutor you on the art of swallowing oysters.
Absolutely. Well, I am psyched because we earlier gave away a book, WillCookForSex.com, which you can get a free copy of if you enter your email address on our new website, On the Radio with Dr. Robert Ray. But we actually have two signed books coming up, and this is where I come in. I know all about this kind of stuff. There's two books coming out by our next guest, Marnie Old, and she has a book out called Wine Secrets, Advice from Winemakers, Sommeliers, and Connoisseurs. And there's another book called He Said Beer, She Said Wine. You've been on the Discovery Channel of the Brewmasters. You're known all around the country as one of the most engaging wine educators. So, Marnie, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I had to get you in at the last moment here because Dr. Ray has really been freaking me out a little bit. Between all these things he wants me to eat to get a better libido and to turn on my mate. And all I know is my husband likes beer, I like wine, and I thought, well, let me bring you in and see how that ties into our program.
Well, you know, I think that alcohol has been associated with this kind of occasion, with Valentine's Day, with, you know, with romance and with couples for a long time for a very good reason. You know, I think that we all know that a little alcohol is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be a healthful part of a moderate lifestyle, and it certainly helps us relax. And, of course, relaxing and remembering how to live in the now, how to really be in the moment with our partner, is really the key to a healthy relationship in so many different ways.
Dr. Ray is always talking about how women should eat chocolate every day, which is why he's my favorite doctor. And as far as red wine goes...
dark chocolate. I want to make that distinction. Not the 70-cent bar that you get at the gas station. I'm talking about that expensive dark chocolate made out of cacao, at least 70% cacao.
Right, and there's isn't there the red wine extracts that the heart is supposed to be so good for your heart? So in actuality, if I'm eating 70% chocolate and red wine at the same time, aren't I being really, really healthy, Marnie? You got to back me up with the doctor.
I think you should indulge that way at least once a day. I think we all should. But actually, the antioxidant properties in both chocolate and red wine have something in common in the sense that they both derive from those color compounds that make both of those products so deep and vividly colored. So they're actually very healthful properties. They're in the polyphenol category, and they end up helping us resist oxidation in the products that they're present in. So, for example, in red wine, the color compounds that help give it a long potential for graceful aging in your cellar are the same components that we're now discovering have some healthful antioxidant properties when we consume them as well.
Now, Marnie, we're at the final moments of the show today, and I wanted to end with a bang here. I know you've been generous enough to give us 2 signed copies of your books, and let me ask you, He Said Beer, She Said Wine is one of the titles of the books that we're giving away today. Quickly, why do you think more men in the kitchen are drinking the beer and more women are drinking the wine?
Well, I think it's partly cultural sensibilities. I think part of that is sort of inherited, something that we learn from our parents and their parents and so on. But I do also suspect that there might be some kind of a body chemistry factor as well, which I think Dr. Ray will be able to relate to. I've noticed, at least in my travels as a beverage expert, that when I talk to audiences, there seems to be a greater craving for the flavor of malt, for that malted grain that is the primary flavor in beer, among men than there is in women. And when I hear that, and I see it repeated constantly in my travels, I start to wonder if there might not be a connection on the nutrition level, because our bodies tend to crave the things that we most need. And of course, men and women have very different body chemistry, and there are different types of nutrients that can support male and female health. So I think there may be a connection there, but of course that's speculation on my part.
You know how interesting that, what's the connection between barley and malt?
Barley is the raw grain, the seed. You can malt barley by moistening it and allowing the seed to think it's time to grow, but then you toast it before it's able to put out its long green shoot and turn into a new plant. And what that does is it allows us to trap the chemical conversion from the starch that was present in the seed to a sort of precursor to sugar.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about the malt and barley because, of course, there are volumes of peer-reviewed literature that show that barley is probably one of the most powerful anti-cancer substances in nature, and right next to chlorophyll. Interesting book that just kind of popped in my head as we're talking about this. There's a book called Medicinal Secrets from the Bible. It's a landmark volume, and you see a lot of barley being discussed in that volume. In our own book, Charlie Fusco and I, Body by Ray, we talk about barley. But how interesting. So not only central, exciting, breaks down some of those barriers a little bit, but also healthy. Barley is very, 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 very healthy. Good stuff.
You've been a resource of information. Thanks so much, Marnie. And I know that we've got people right now logging in to get some signed copies of your 2 books. So thank you for giving us those. So, Dr. Ray, I don't know if you've got any parting thoughts for our audience this week.
So, you know, life, as I said so many times, is not a spectator sport. Let's make this, you know, this is the month of Valentine's. You know, let's make it count. Let's make it really special. Let's put that spark back into our relationship. And, you know, less time on the couch, more time, you know, putting that spark into our lives. So it's amazing how just a minimal effort goes such a long way. So just give it a try. Try some of the recipes we talked about today. Try some of the little secrets we talked about today. And, you know, win at the game of love. It's your choice.
Absolutely. More tips and tricks on the radio at drrobertray.com. Join us on Facebook and Twitter. Find out everything that's coming up in this crazy world that we seem to have been creating. Thanks so much, Dr. Ray. We'll talk to you next week, everyone.
Very, very nice, you guys. Big kiss and a hug. Ciao.
Thank you again for listening. On the Radio with Dr. Ray will be back next Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join host Dr. Robert Ray and co-host Natalie Day again for another terrific show. And have a great week until then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.